Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you. Lord, we bow down in worship before you. Our hearts rejoice at the thought of you, God, the faithful God, the eternal rock who does not move and does not change. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your great power and wisdom and love by which you rule with a mighty providence over your world. May our hearts be comforted, Lord, at the thought that you do everything well and you do everything right. And we thank you for that. We rejoice in you, God. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus, the faithful witness, the prophet from heaven who came and spoke the truth, who lived the truth, who is the truth. We thank you, Lord, that he would die for us. We thank you that our sins are forgiven, washed away, put behind your back, remembered no more, drowned in the depths of the sea. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the promise that you've given us in your word of forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to live in our hearts, to lead us and guide us, to convict us, to show us the right way. Lord, to even prompt us in our hearts of righteousness constantly and continually. We thank you. We thank you for your own dear presence to cheer and to guide. What a great God you are. This morning, as we look into your word, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Because of Jesus' holy cross. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. So today we have come to the virtue of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Have you thought about faithfulness? Unfaithfulness is one of the most outstanding sins of these evil days. In the business world, a man's word is, with exceedingly rare exceptions, no longer his bond. In the social world, marital infidelity abounds on every hand, the sacred bonds of wedlock being broken with as little regard as the discarding of an old garment. In the ecclesiastical realm, thousands who have solemnly covenanted to preach the truth make no scruple to attack and deny it. Nor can reader or writer claim complete immunity from this fearful sin. In how many ways have we been unfaithful to Christ and to the light and privileges which God has entrusted to us? How refreshing, then, how unspeakably blessed to lift our eyes above the scene of ruin and behold one who is faithful. Faithful in all things, faithful at all times. Know ye therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. Deuteronomy 7:9. That was Arthur Wilkington Pink writing in the 1940s. And my, what a light it shines upon human society. Amen. And also what a light it shines upon God, who alone is the faithful one. Amen. And so we've now come to that third triad, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, of virtues listed in the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And here we find faithfulness. Faithfulness is similar to those virtues we have already looked at in the fact that it is both an attribute of God and also a fruit of the Spirit within us. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is a steadfast and reliable integrity and loyalty to others in our word, priorities, and commitment. You think about faithfulness. What does faithfulness mean? What does it speak of? It's interesting when I look in a thesaurus to this word faithful. It is loaded with synonyms. And over and over in the Bible, it's described in so many different ways. Because there are so many words that relate to it. It's kind of one of those virtues that encompasses several things. If you will, it has to do with faith in the first place. It has to do with a trust that we have in something outside of ourselves. And in particular, in the Christian faith, our trust, our faith has an object, which is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And our faith is placed in His Word because He is the Word. He communicates to us in Word. In fact, Jesus is the living Word. And so we have this faith, this trust, this belief. More than that, this assurance that He is who He says He is, and He does what He says He will do. Namely, fulfill His promises, which are hundreds, even thousands. So this word faithfulness is like assurance. It's like belief, believe, faith. And we derive our word fidelity from this idea. The Greek is the word pistis. It means faith. It means a sacred trust. But it expands, and it has this idea of steadfastness or constancy. Dependable, devoted, conscientious. These are all forms of faithfulness. How about trustworthy or resolute or dutiful? One is said to be faithful if he's focused, if he's sure to carry out his duties, he's obedient. He's constant. He's steady. More than that, he's enduring. He remains steady. He remains obedient. He remains devoted. He remains conscientious and dependable if he's faithful. He is unchanging, unswerving, unwavering if he is faithful. He doesn't move from his right spot. He sticks to his guns, to put it in the Old West vernacular. And so it has also then this sense of surety, of certainty, of integrity. Surely the word fidelity that we derive from the word faith speaks of an integrity. About a truthfulness. One is faithful when he's truthful. He's faithful to the truth. He's honest. He's sincere. He's honorable. He's upright. He's genuine. What you see is what you get. No smoke and mirrors. God, help us to be faithful. May these words describe us, because they surely describe God our Father, who is fashioning us in His image. Amen? As an attribute of God, faithfulness is a virtue that describes God's fidelity and His dependability to carry out His word. Think about that. When we talk about the faithfulness of God, we're saying that God has a fidelity. He's the real thing. He's the genuine thing. He's the original thing. It's the real McCoy. And more than that, God is dependable. To speak of the faithfulness of God is to say that God will do what he says he's going to do. And he will be who he is. How about that? He will be who he is. Faithful. Truthful. Integral. Dependable. Dependability of God. To do what? To carry out his word. To carry out his truth. It assures us that he will certainly fulfill his promises as well as execute his threats against sin. God's faithfulness refers to his truthfulness and integrity so that when God speaks, his word is true, which also therefore means he will fulfill his promises and threats. If God makes a promise and speaks the truth, he's going to be sure to carry it out. Why? Because he's faithful. How faithful is God? Amen? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning in you. God doesn't change. He doesn't move. He's not one thing today and something else tomorrow. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. God is unfailing. His love is unfailing. It never fails. Because he doesn't change. He's always loving. He's always infinite love. We sing about the faithfulness of God. We rejoice that there is a rock eternal. Amen? Think about it. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. God keeps the planets in their perfect orbit. Season after season after season after season after season, God is faithful. God is faithful. Join with all nature in manifold witness of thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. You see the sun every morning when you wake up? God is faithful. You see a sunset when it goes down? God is faithful. You get a winter blast on May 1st? You live in New Mexico. And God is faithful. Amen? How about this? Pardon for sin. Pardon for sin. And a peace that endures. A peace that endures. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Never leaves us, never forsakes us. Gives us his peace even when we're sinful, for he pardons our sin. He's a forgiving God, and he's always forgiving. He's unchangeably forgiving, imparting his peace. How about this? Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. God is faithful. Our hope can't fail because God can't fail. And our hope is rooted and grounded in promises that God has made. My, oh my, how he has been faithful up to this very day. And however many times, hundreds, thousands, I doubted him, yet he remained faithful. Amen? God is faithful. Particularly, God makes covenants and promises to his people and remains steadfast to fulfill his obligations to these promises, even when his people fail to do their part. God keeps his covenants, remembers his loving kindness, because great is his faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7, 9 and following. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. God doesn't only keep his promises, he keeps his threats. He keeps his threats. He is the faithful God. He's the faithful God. The psalmist writes, "Thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the skies." What's he trying to describe about God's faithfulness? That it's infinite. That it's abounding. It's super abounding. You can't measure it in the sky. For this, he sings the praise of God. Psalm 98, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation." Think about this from the earliest pages of Scripture. God is promising to save. God is promising to forgive. God is promising to redeem. And think about what the psalmist writes here in Psalm 98. "The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." Surely the psalmist had no idea the magnitude of what it would be like when the Messiah would come and fulfill this very prophecy he speaks, that the Lord has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Yes, namely in the person and the work of Jesus. Amen. He goes on, he says, "He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel." Did not God promise to send the anointed one to deliver them? How many times did God promise? And that he did, exactly. In fact, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. You see, he's revealed his righteousness in the sight of all the nations. In fact, now his arms of salvation are open wide, calling them, bidding them, come and drink freely of the water of life. Amen? Think about how God said to Abraham, "Your offspring will be a blessing to all the nations." And here and now they find their refuge in the Lord Jesus himself. Even in lament, in exile, the prophet writes in Lamentations 3, verse 22, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Interesting, when you belong to God, even when you're in exile, for your own foolishness and disobedience, yet you know God has done it with loving kindness and faithfulness. Amen? And that you won't find utter ruin, but yes, indeed, the Lord will eventually raise you up, even if for a time you find yourself in diverse trials. Amen? Thank God he's faithful. Consider that Jesus was called as the Messiah, the promised and anointed one to deliver God's people from their enemies and bring them into a kingdom of peace and blessing and prosperity. There are actually hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament that tell of the future person and work of Jesus and all that he would do to bring this about. Consider the massive list of fulfilled prophecies, some 300 of his first coming, that God was faithful to fulfill in the person of Jesus. Think about that. God promised hundreds of years before his anointed one came, some 300 times, with pinpoint accuracy, things about the man himself and the things that he would do. God is faithful. He brought it to pass. Things planned long ago, from the days of eternity. Jesus himself is God's faithfulness on display as he carries out God's word and fulfills his covenant to save his people. You see, Jesus is a fulfilled promise himself. He is the surety of the covenant. He's the certainty himself. He's the fidelity of God here to make it right, to make it good. It's a marvelous mystery to consider how Jesus has fulfilled God's faithfulness. In fact, Jesus himself is described as the faithful one, Revelation 19:11. The faithful witness, Revelation 1:5 and 3:14. And also, the faithful high priest. The one who would do the right thing. The one who would do it with perfect integrity. The one who was dependable. The one who would do it in righteousness and in justice. The one who would carry it out perfectly. Yeah, that's him. The faithful high priest. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. You see, he had to come as a man and do it. He had to come and be the fidelity of God and carry it out and do the work of intercession, do the work of mediation. How? Verse 17, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He had to give his life. This is how serious God is about his faithfulness. That he comes and gives his own life to fulfill his promise. Owing to no one. But he is faithful, and he will do it. Verse 18, for since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Yes, dear one, Jesus knows your struggle. He knows your temptation. He's not only a faithful high priest, he's a merciful high priest. He's walked in your shoes. He knows how difficult it is, and yet he's the eternal rock with you. The one who loves you and cares for you, the one who will help you, he's merciful. Chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Think about him. The one sent from heaven. The one who is a priest. The one who mediates between us and God. Who did what was necessary. Who did it right. Who was filled with integrity and fidelity. That's him. He says, verse 2, he was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. You see, Jesus had a stewardship from God. He had a stewardship from God. He was given a charge and sent from heaven. And so, he was faithful to God to carry out his appointment as the high priest. Glorious God puts his faithfulness on display in the person of Jesus. Omnipotent, almighty God, going like a lamb to the slaughter to put his faithfulness on display. God is certainly faithful. Amen? And certainly will fulfill all his promises to his people. Which one will fail? I'll ask you. Which one will fail? Is not his word worthy of our trust? Do you believe him? Do you take him at his word? Well, you certainly can. Let me tell you, you certainly can. In fact, the word faithfulness deals with assurance. It is fidelity, fidelis. It's the real McCoy. It's the truth. Amen? God's integrity is at stake because he has made so many promises to his people to do them good. Think of the promises. Think of the blessings that flow to us day by day beyond counting. We're not even aware of them all, and yet they flow forth just like the seasons. Just like the sun rises, God's blessings shower his people every day. So he is said to be faithful as he fulfills his promises to us. Hebrews 10, chapter 19 and following. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Think about that. We have confidence. We have confidence. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. We have confidence because he's the high priest. We have confidence because he's gone before us. We have confidence because he paid the debt for our sin. We have confidence because he has mediated between us and God. It's done. It's finished. It's over. It's paid. We have confidence to come before God because Jesus has done the work. He's carried out God's fidelity himself. Everything that God required is summed up in the person and work of Jesus. So listen, we have confidence. We have confidence. Listen, he's our Father. We've been reconciled to God. That's a relational term. It's not just a court judgment. It is that. What's the word I'm looking for? What's the word, Pastor Tim? In the court. Sorry. I can't think of it. See, I'm losing my memory with my hair. Forensic. It's not just a forensic thing where Christ went and justified us in God's courtroom. Listen, we were reconciled to God so that now we have a relationship with God. We're his own dear children through the work of Jesus. We have confidence to come to God. Good night. We wake up in the morning, Abba, Father, and we go to bed at night crying out to God. Oh, God, he's his own dear presence to cheer and to guide. He's with us. Good night. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us what? Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let us come to God. Why? Because Jesus has paid it. You ashamed of your sin? Okay, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. It's paid in full. Come to the Lord. Come mourning and broken. Come contrite. But let me tell you something. He calls you to draw near in full assurance of faith. You've been forgiven. You've been washed. You're clean. You've been brought into the house and given a robe and a ring. And soon and very soon, we're going to sit for the fatted calf. Amen? Indeed, even now we're feasting on the hors d'oeuvres. Yes? Praise God. He says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Glorious. God didn't just give us a bunch of rules and told us to straighten up. He's washed our hearts. He's renewed our hearts with the Holy Spirit. He's put a Holy Spirit inside our hearts. Amen? A spirit just like Him. And so, the prophet writes, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Well, because you're a good Christian and you can make it till the end. Yeah? No, 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 no. For he who promised is faithful. Amen. He's going to see you through. You're going to get there because he's going to get you there. Amen. The doctrine of preservation. Yes. So let us draw near in full assurance of faith. And let us be sure that we're in that faith. Let us be sure that we're trusting in God and not in ourselves. Let us be sure that our hope is in Him. Let us be all the more eager to make our calling and election sure by adding to our faith. Amen? And even when we forsake God and deny our faithfulness to Him, God will surely fulfill His threats and promises, for He cannot change. But rather, His very nature is faithfulness. Listen to Paul writing in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, it is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. You see, God doesn't change. His promises don't change. He offers forgiveness. Will you have it? He offers a cleansing and a washing. Will it be yours? You only have to reach out and take it. God is faithful. He'll fulfill His promise. Yeah, even to a wretched sinner like me. This is seen clearly in God's promise to forgive sins. Think about this. God's faithfulness and His promise to forgive sins. It's seen clearly in God's promise to forgive sins to Christians who with faithful hearts confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And I put there in parentheses what it means to have a faithful heart. I put humble, repentant, sincere. You know, you don't come to God in a confession booth. Father, I've sinned, so I'm doing my thing here so I can go back out and sin some more. Well, that's real sincere. That's a real confession, huh? Well, there's some real fidelity in that, isn't there? Is that the kind of faith that we have? Is that the kind of trust that we have? You see, faithfulness is not only a characteristic of God. It's the very thing we do as Christians. We faith. We trust. We have a fiduciary commitment in our trust to God. We're all in. We're all in, which means we're humble, we're broken, we're contrite. We realize that we're sinners, sincerely. Amen? Not only that, God has granted us repentance, and we're sincerely repentant. We loathe our sin. We hate our sin. It plagues us. It haunts us. Those with a faithful heart, it haunts. Amen? Maybe you don't have a heart like that. Cry out to God. He'll give you one. In fact, this is said to be an act of justice and righteousness for God to do. Because Christ has been punished for our sins to meet the demand of divine justice. And God therefore forgives on the basis of his promise to forgive those who trust in the Christ. The wages of their sins having been paid by Christ. You see, it's an act of justice for God to forgive sins. It's an act of justice for God to forgive sins. This is a glorious thought. God is faithful to forgive our sins. That's amazing. You understand? The God who cannot lie has promised to forgive your sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, or if you will, just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. God forbid. He's faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. You see, it's an act of righteousness for God to forgive. Why? Because Christ has been punished. So for the one who comes with a sincere and repentant heart, trusting in God, Father, forgive me of my sin. Listen, God is so faithful to his promise to forgive, he has made it an act of justice to forgive you, which is how his justice can be met in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the actual payment for sins. They've been paid for. Now let me ask you a question. Are they paid for or aren't they paid for? You bet they are. You bet they are. And on that basis, God grants forgiveness. He's faithful to the promise to forgive us of our sins. Yes, your sins. Yes, all your sins. Yes, those ones you keep committing. Those too. The ones that you hate, even when you do it, and after you do it, and before you did it. Those are the ones God forgives. Those are the ones God forgives for the faithful heart, for the one who does trust, for the one who does believe, for the one with genuine faith. Amen? God is not seeking to be appeased with your lip service. He knows our hearts. Indeed, he's the one who searches hearts and minds. Indeed, he's the one who tests our hearts. Amen? Maybe you're in the fire. Peter says, yeah, these trials have come so that your faith, which is more precious than gold, may be found to be genuine at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? God is faithful, and he'll make sure our faith is real. Amen? So if you're in the fire, look to him, because he's given promises to get you through the fire. Amen? Amen? Amen. Because God is faithful, he will also keep us and cause us to persevere in the faith until the end, and will also set us apart to himself and cause us to bear his image until our sanctification is complete. Think about this. God has promised to cause us to persevere, to keep us right? I know my sheep, they hear my voice, they follow me, and what? None can snatch them out of my hands. My Father keeps them, who is greater than all, and none can snatch out of his hands. Amen? First Thessalonians 5, Paul speaks about our sanctification. If you will, basically, he's saying that God is going to take us and set us apart unto himself until the great day. Look what he says. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Amen. Doubting your ability to hang in there? Well, I'm with you. I often doubt my ability to hang in there. Regularly. Because I know how weak I am. I know how frail I am. I know how sinful I am. But God promises. Look here. That my spirit and soul and body will be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. God is going to bring it to pass. What? That I'll be there before him without blame. Amen. Jude adds, with great joy. Right? Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Doubting your ability to hang in there? Well, that's probably a pretty good spot to be. But don't doubt your God, because he's faithful. You see, that's what Paul says. Faithful is he who calls you. Listen, God called you out of darkness and brought you into light. Guess what? He's going to be faithful to keep you until the end, without blame, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Our faith isn't in us. Our faith is in him. Amen? Now, as faithfulness regards the Christian life, as a fruit of the Spirit and a virtue that we are to live and strive for, it also deals with our own fidelity and loyalty to God and others. You know, we've talked at length here a little bit about God's faithfulness. And we know he's the faithful rock. He's the unchanging, eternal rock who doesn't move. Amen? He carries out his word. Everything he says is true. He always fulfills his covenants and his promises and his threatenings. Right? He speaks with integrity and truthfulness. He's dependable, reliable. And then he says, as a work of the Spirit inside of us, that we possess his faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The product of the Spirit is faithfulness. The thing that the Spirit works in your life is this fidelity, this dependability, this reliability. Are you surrendered to his will? Do you long to be faithful like he is? Do you need the energy? Remember, it's God-dependent effort. It's God-dependent effort. He'll give you what you need to be faithful. He won't leave you hanging. Man, they might even tie you around a pole and put a fire down there by your feet and burn you to death. He'll be with you every flame as you chirp forth his praises. One martyr after another has been an example of it. He won't leave you hanging in far lesser trials. No. He'll strengthen you so that you can be faithful, that you can carry out your charge, that you can do what he appointed you to, that you can trust in his Son. Remember, faith is a gift from God. Amen? He gives it. But then he calls us to this obedience. He calls us to be faithful. He calls us to act like him. He calls us to be like him. And he takes that calling seriously. Faithfulness is a steadfast and reliable integrity and loyalty to God and others in our word, our priorities, and commitments. Think about that. How good is your word? Is it true? Are you careful to speak the truth? God cares about that. He's serious about it. Listen, when we're faithful, it means that we tell the truth. It means that we tell the truth. We don't bend the truth. There's no smoke and mirrors. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. God help us. It's so simple, isn't it? But hard. It's so simple, tell the truth, but hard to do often, isn't it? You want to be like God? Tell the truth. Tell the truth. It means we keep our promises and we do what we say we're going to do. You know, we as Christians, you know, people say, you know, pray for me. Oh, I'll pray for you. Really? Do those words just kind of roll off your tongue? Or is there actually a commitment in your heart? I need to make it a point to pray for this person because I just committed to them that I would be praying for them. Are you with me? We take our words so lightly. And yet we're children of God. Our words come out, they have weight. They have glory in them. They're weighty. They're heavy. They're meaningful. They're integral. They're truthful. Amen? We say we're going to do something. We do it. Amen? Does that mark your life, dear Christian? You say you're going to do something. Are you zealous to carry it out? It means we'll be the kind of person that is reliable and can be counted on because we are dependable. That's a faithful one. That's a faithful one. Doesn't mean we don't ever fail. But it means our life is marked by dependability, reliability, stability. Amen? We're not just some flighty flake, right? You say something and people think, oh yeah, sure, man. Is that what people think when we speak? It means that we're obedient to God and keep his commandments. Yeah, that's what faithful means. Full of faith. Yeah, full of the Christian faith, the real thing, the real McCoy. Not just to say so. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. To be faithful is to be obedient to God. To be faithful is to be obedient to God. And that, by the way, covers the whole gamut of what faithfulness is, because God has commanded us to be truthful. God has commanded us to be dependable and reliable. God has commanded us to be like him in every way. And so faithfulness looks like someone that's full of faith, full of obedience to God. Their life is marked by obedience to God and to his commandments. Do you say you're a Christian and then go out and break the commandments of God? Do you say you're a Christian and then go tell lies? Do you say you're a Christian and then steal? No. Not that we never sin, but the pattern and trajectory of our life is marked by doing God's will and being faithful to love Him and others. You see, that's the way you live your life. It doesn't mean you're perfectly blameless in every way and never sin. That's not you, and that's not me. Amen? But it means that that's the way we live our life. That's the motion we move in. We live a faithful life, and it's marked by the way that we live, by the things that we say, by the things that we do. It's marked by devotion and worship to God. When you're faithful, you don't just come to church whenever you feel like it. Why? Well, because the ultimate priority to come to church is to worship God. We didn't come here to get our feet tickled and our ears tickled, for somebody to pat us on the back and give us a bunch of warm fuzzies. We came here to worship the living God and to sing to the glory of His great faithfulness. Why? Because He's upheld you and cared for you and met all your needs. Because the sun rises every morning and sets every evening. That's why. Because He's God and we're not, and we give Him praise. Amen? That's why we came here. We came here to sit under His word and let Him wash our conscience and our hearts with clean water. We came here to hear about His great virtue and to celebrate it, to sing praises to His name. Amen? With all of His faithful ones. Yeah, His faithful ones, the ones who show up week in and week out to do that. Amen? Moreover, let us consider that because God is faithful, He takes our faithfulness very seriously. Jesus said that, in fact, it was one of the weightier matters of the law. You remember when he's reproving the Pharisees, and He's talking about their legalism and their religion, right? And, you know, they got everything just right in the right spot, little tassels, and, you know, they do all their fancy stuff. And, you know, here's what Jesus says, Matthew 23:23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." You see, Jesus, when He reads the law, this is what He says is important. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. May our lives be marked by this constancy of faithfulness, even as Paul was. You know, Paul got to the end of his life, and this is what he said, 2 Timothy 4:7-8, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith. I hung in there. I did it by the energy of the Spirit. At times, I was clinging with my fingernails and despairing of life," he writes in 2 Corinthians. Right? "But here I am at the end of my life. I've kept the faith. I hung in there by God's power." Amen? "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Is that you? "Let us also take great care to be faithful to the charge to follow Christ, to do His will, for we are stewards of all that He has entrusted to us." Think about this. When God calls us to be faithful, He calls us to be faithful with that which He has entrusted to us. He calls us to be faithful with that which He has entrusted to us. Our time, our talents, our treasure, that is your money, have been given by God for us to serve and glorify Him, and this is our stewardship. What is your stewardship from God? Everything He's given you. And now He says, glorify me with it. Glorify me with your life. Glorify me with everything that you have. Amen? Amen? Amen. We know that someone is faithful when we witness their devotion to God in worship, by their integrity in word and deed, and by their life marked by trusting God and doing what He says. Obedience. As we strive with God-dependent effort to be faithful, we shall bear His image in greater degree over time by the power of the Spirit. Consider lastly, the Lord also rewards faithfulness to our calling and gifting in the Christian life. You know, that's what Paul said. He said, look, I've run the race, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, there is what? Now laid up for me a crown of life, which the Lord Himself will award to me on that day. Because I was faithful to the charge, because I did what God appointed me to do, I was faithful, I was obedient, I was fidelity, I did it. I carried it out, I did what He asked me. God is going to reward me, he says. God rewards faithfulness. He says it's a product of the Spirit that He creates inside your heart and life, and yet He also rewards you for carrying it out. But you see, you got to carry it out. You got to run the course. You got to keep the faith, even though you do it with His energy. Amen? Jesus, in the Olivet Discourse, tells of this accounting that He will have His servants give. Matthew 25:20, and the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Amen? I want you to think seriously about what the Lord has entrusted to you and how you're now using it. Yeah, I'm talking about your time, your talents, and your treasure. I think that pretty much covers it. Jesus is serious about this stewardship and this faithfulness. Amen? If you go on and read there in Matthew, you'll read about the guy who wasn't faithful. Doesn't turn out too well. He didn't run the course. He didn't keep the faith. And he had to give an accounting to the Lord. Let that not be said about us. Amen? Let me tell you, whatever resources you lack, cry out to God. He'll give them to you. Faithful is He who called you. He will also bring it to pass. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, so often it's hard, God, to do your will. The world is often warring with us, and surely the devil always is. And if that weren't enough, our worst enemy, God, is our own sinful nature. So, Lord, we ask for strength to be faithful. We want to be faithful, God. Help us to grow in our integrity to you. Strengthen our faith, God, that we might be pleasing you in every respect. We thank you that you are the faithful one. We thank you, God, that you keep your promises. We thank you that you will uphold us and see us through till the end. We trust you and believe you. We honor you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.